This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
On the evening of Saturday, January 31st, 1953, the sun and moon are in direct alignment with the earth. With this, it created a spring tide. From a distance, a severe European windstorm over the North Sea swarmed into the Netherlands and caused a storm tide. This combination of wind, high tide, and low pressure led to a high water level, and as a result, a flood that saw over 1,800 deaths, 47,000 buildings damaged in the Netherlands, which left a lasting mark. You're listening to Enterprise and I'm Angeline Tay. Now, when people think of the Netherlands, three things often come to mind. Tulips, windmills, and their sustainable initiatives. Of course, on the show today, we're focusing on the sustainability and how Dutch enterprises have influenced sustainability practices right here in Malaysia with two companies, Teleplan and Energy Transformer. Before we get there, earlier I shared the deadly flood which struck the country 50 years ago. That wasn't the first time though. The Netherlands have been battling with floods for centuries. Now, I'm highlighting this to focus on their history and culture. Well, that's because life, for a long time, was tough in the country. With around one-fifth of the country situated below sea level, people were standing up to their knees in mud and trying to build a society. This forced people to work together. And for more than four centuries, the Dutch have been installing dikes and drains to reclaim land from the sea and keep the water at bay. Now, the Dutch multi-stakeholder negotiation existed long before the sustainability field picked up. This historic threat of the sea means the Dutch expect to live with nature. After the devastating North Sea flood in the 1953, the nation adopted a never again attitude.
Hi, I'm Marco Winter, the executive director of the Malaysian Dutch Business Council. We are a very active bilateral chamber of commerce, trying to support as many Dutch and Malaysian companies that want to do business with each other and into each other's countries. During our 15th anniversary in 2011, we decided to organize the MDBC Sustainability Awards because we feel as Dutch we have a lot to share in the area of sustainability, which we wanted to share especially with all our companies, our member companies here in Malaysia. So we decided to start an awards program to share the best practices in a very open and transparent way. We have different categories every year, and the winners, the participants, actually first have to send in written submissions, followed by public presentations for the shortlisted companies. So it's really a very competitive and open awards show.
And they are right here at our doorsteps with the MDBC Sustainability Awards. Malaysian companies now can learn a thing or two from them to look after our own ecological assets.
Managed to turn it into an annual event. This year was our fifth edition. Every year we're looking into what's hot in the area of sustainability, which of course is very broad. We don't just want to make it green year after year, but still looking at what is very important also for the Malaysian environmental situation, of course. This year, in coordination with the Netherlands Embassy, we decided on the topic of circular economy.
The chief judge of this year's MDBC Sustainability Awards is the Netherlands Ambassador to Malaysia, Her Excellency Karen Mosenlechner.
For the Netherlands, of course, sustainability is very important, and it's, I think, also more directly important for us even than for people in Malaysia. Being from a country that is very densely populated and also largely below sea level, we realize how important it is to be innovative, to invest in sustainable solutions. And that is something that in the Netherlands, well, very much advanced in, luckily. And we try to bring these solutions also to other parts of the world. For us, our government in September adopted a plan actually to try to have a 100% circular economy by 2050. And our government realizes that she cannot realize that on her our own. And we have to cooperate. And that's also part of the Dutch approach, I think, that we try to do it together with our companies, with our business community, together with our academic world. So the famous triple helix model, but also involve civil society, media, the people in it. So actually it's more like a quadruple helix cooperation that we are looking for, because I'm convinced that the key in the end is with the people and with the companies. And that was why I was so glad also to see so many companies who are really committed to this issue at the MSA Awards.
Tell us about your experience being a judge for the awards.
Yeah, well, I was impressed, I have to say, with all the nominees. I said they're very committed, and all of them were innovative in their own way. But there were actually the two winners really stood out for us. And the interesting thing was that there was a jury consisting of some experts and me as the chief judge. But there was also a voting by the audience. And the interesting thing is that we first looked into the winners together with the jury without knowing the results of the vote of the audience. And then afterwards looked what the audience voted for. And it was exactly the same outcome and very convincing. So the winners were really the ones who deserve to win.
2050 is just 33 years away. The Netherlands' ambition is to be 100% circular economy by then. What circular economy does is to create economic growth and prosperity, and at the same time, restoring our ecosystem. So with the theme of circular economy for this year's MDBC Sustainability Awards, there were two winners who emerged in the Greenhorn category and the Elite category. So we managed to take a sneak peek into the judges' comment on the winners of each category.
The winner in the Greenhorn category showed very impressive and unique ideas to overcome major issues of today's environmental issues. Not only was the technology important, but how they will commercialize and how they intended to monetize their concept and ideas was clearly presented. What stood out with this company was the innovativeness and uniqueness, and yet applicability to other areas is amazing. We could see the potential impact they will have to the overall circular economy, especially to Malaysia. It was also important that team was able to make the audience visualize and feel their vision and potential success in fulfilling the objective of ensuring a greener world for the youth, meeting the three criteria of people, planet, and profit.
And the winner? Energy Transformer. The CEO of Transmar Group, which owns Energy Transformer, Peter Wolf, shares about what Greenhorn category actually means.
This category means that we were awarded for being a sustainable company, doing something for the country, for we're actually having a global initiative we are introducing in Malaysia. We started in Malaysia in our factory in Penang, producing a product from waste, actually waste from plantations, palm oil plantations. And we turn it into a biochar, and the biochar is used for soil improvement and yield increases. So actually what we're doing, we take the waste and turn it into a soil improver. This is sustainability, this is cradle to cradle, this is everything that has to do with reducing green household gases. And actually this is where our company stands for. We've got another company, a plastic company in the Netherlands for many, many years. We were founded in 1953. And in the Netherlands, we decided 6 years ago to use biopolymers and natural fibers to reduce CO2. And actually, this also led to Asian activities for energy transformers, because this is the company we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's Transmar is the group in the Netherlands, and in Asia, it's energy transformers.
Okay.
Collecting the waste, turning it into a char.
We'll get Peter, CEO of Transmar Group, to break it down further so it makes sense to all of us after these messages. Stay with us on Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Breaking financial matters, BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Enterprise and I'm Angeline Tay. We're highlighting the recently concluded MDBC Sustainability Awards. The winners of Greenhorn category and Elite category are with us today. Before we head into the Elite Award though, let's tackle the Greenhorn category with Peter Wolf, CEO of Transmar Group.
All right, just bring us back to, you know, Energy Transformer and Transmar Group. What exactly does this company do?
Actually, we started 5 years ago in trading here in Asia from the palm kernel shells of palm oil plantations, initially from Sumatra, Indonesia. And later we decided we should add something new to the industry, we should add something to sustainability. So we decided to increase the net calorific value of a product, and we turned it into a biocoal. And this biocoal was used for power stations replacing ordinary coal. And this had a tremendous effect on CO2 reduction and green household gases. And this was also confirmed by universities in the Netherlands and in Thailand. That's how it all started. So nowadays we're producing biocoal. At the awards, we were just focusing on biochar. And the reason is because that's more cradle to cradle. And actually, in both cases, we are using the biomass, so the waste of the plantations. And we turn it into a biocoal, which is energy. And we turn it into a biochar, which is used for agro.
When you say when you first came into Asia, which is with Sumatra and then to Malaysia, that's just fairly 5 years ago.
Yes, I've been traveling here, Indonesia, Malaysia and Thailand every month, setting up this new business, convinced that we could do something for sustainability, convinced that we could do something that was not there and to make the world a little bit better. We've done it in the Netherlands in our plastic factory using natural fibers, bamboo, as a filler in plastics, replacing minerals, and we're doing it here under the name of Energy Transformers, contributing to sustainability, actually. And the good thing is, by doing it, you're doing something new. You're supported by governments. Well, this is also one of the reasons why we're so much and so strongly supported by the Dutch embassy here. We're strongly supported by the government. We also, customers in Thailand are supported by the Thai government, for instance, and we get real support. Our next factory will be built in Thailand just because of this support. So we expect more factories in Malaysia. We have now our first plant up and running in Penang, and we're sure that there will be more in the country.
And then 5 years ago, I mean, you've discovered a need where a lot of companies haven't even seen it themselves. But the thing is, how did you first convince, you know, people to adopt your solution? Sustainability is not on top of people's mind, you know, in this part of the world.
No, actually, this started in the Netherlands, where the big... In the Netherlands and in Germany, actually, where the big electricity companies, the power stations like E.ON and RWE, were participating in our project. And they said, well, if you can create a biomass to be used for power stations, that's great. But then when we are starting up increasing the calorific value, which made it much more sustainable, then they said, well, this is perfect. And they also recommended it. They were participating in the project. And then we knew we had something new, and it was a really added value. The only thing is, when you have it here and the demand is in Europe, we had to create a demand here. So to create this feeling of sustainability. So that's talking, marketing. That's also one of the reasons why we're so happy with the Sustainability Awards. And also with this broadcasting, this interview. This is so important to tell our story. Mm-hmm. We would like to tell we're good and we show it.
Now, the Elite Award.
The winner of the Elite Award was able to show how they optimize recycled and reused items in all stages of the product life cycle, and also shown capability to reinvest and rebuild the economy and the environment.
The winner is Teleplan. Chu Hu Neo, he's the APAC Senior IT Solution and Service of Teleplan, shares how they contribute to circular economy.
For Teleplan itself, for Penang, actually Teleplan Penang established in 1999. Until today, 2016, actually we're already 17 years company in Malaysia is doing recycling of electronic products. So for this recycling of electronic product, actually my company is trying to properly dispositions all the used electronic products to help to repair it, recover it, or reuse it to give the second life for the electronic product and to eliminate any waste to the landfill. So I would say that in terms of how far is it, because I would say that in Malaysia, actually, for electronic product, it's not really a lot of people not really go for the recycling. That's why the company Teleplan here in Malaysia actually is helping on this particular area for recovering of electronic product.
And Teleplan was in Malaysia in which year again?
1999.
And back then, you already see the need for an e-waste sort of solution.
That one I need to ask back to my headquarters. That one I have no idea about it. But anyway, but for the headquarters for Teleplan, actually we in the Netherlands is starting on 1983.
Yeah.
So during that time, we are starting, we have operations, recovering operation in European regions, maybe because of the sustainability of the environment worldwide. This is regardless of the regions or country. That's why maybe they foresee the need for the Asian market. Mm-hmm. That's why they established a factory over here in Malaysia.
I think I have more questions when it comes to business model. I think it's pretty straightforward.
So for Telepen, actually, we can classify as two ways. One is we provide the servicing to our customer. So meaning that we are helping our customer to repair their product.
Mm-hmm.
And then another category is once the product that unsuccessful to repair,
mm-hmm.
then they will sell to Telepen. Then Telepen will do some things to properly disposition it and then to extract as much wealth from it,
mm-hmm.
and that before we put to the landfill.
Maybe let's go into the technical side of the sustainability of your company. Walk us through from the very first step to the last.
Okay, for Telepen, actually, we involve in the whole product life cycle. So from the product, from the starting point when the point of sales, when we sell out the product, actually, Telepen is already start to service on that. Take an example, if the product broken, so they will send back for warranty claim. So during that time, Telepen is already providing the service for the warranty claim, which is repairing for all the electronic product which is broken. So from the broken product, we repair it, make it work, and then send to the consumer again. So if the product is unable to repair, we will do a recovery on that. So for the recovery, actually, we do a lot of some sort like soft repair or hard repair. Soft repair is referring to the software or firmware repair for the electronic product. And hard repair is referring for replacing of components inside the electronic product. So if we are successfully repair the product, then we can sell out the product again or push to the market again. So unfortunately, if the product unsuccessful to repair, then we will properly disposition it to a several method. One is we can do a harvesting, which means that in the broken product, we can harvest the material and component inside the electronic product. So the particular component which is working, so we harvest it and then we will keep it for repair another electronic product. So for the recycling, if the electronic product after harvest all the material and nothing we can do further on that, then we will put this product, disposition it to the recycle. So from the recycle, actually, we are working with our partner is to extract all the mineral and the material from that product. So take an example, the mineral or material that we can extract out is, take an example like gold, silver, and copper. So for this material and components, we can use for other purpose. First, after we extract the material, actually, indirectly, we're already reducing the waste to the landfill. Secondly is, we also can sell out the extracted material to the manufacturer to reproduce a brand new electronic product rather than they buy a new mineral. So it's also helping the environment to harvest the mineral from the earth.
Now, Energy Transformer, on the other hand, has a cradle-to-cradle sustainable approach. We'll find out more about their initiatives in just a while. Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Bureaucratic failures multiply. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise, and we're still on the conversation about MDBC Sustainability Awards. The winners are in the studio with us sharing their initiatives which warrant them as a winner. Peter Wolf, CEO of Transmar Group, now talks about their product which uses cradle-to-cradle approach.
We collect waste of palm oil plantations. We collect the waste and we bring it to our factory in Penang. We will have a production process of torrefaction. That means that we get the product that has a moisture content between, say, 20 and 40, 50 percent moisture. We bring that back to 1%, 0.1%. And the good thing is, this is a process of torrefaction. It's done at around 300 degrees Celsius. The good thing is, it doesn't require any energy. This is our process. This is our technology. It's a patented technology. We don't need any electricity for it. By doing so, we add energy to the product, we reduce water, and then we bring it back to the power stations as a biocoal, and we can have it as a soil improver, soil enhancer, and this will lead to increasement of yield. And actually, when we bring it back to the same plantations, so it's actually plantation, we'll reduce all the water. We get a char. This char is spread over the plantations, and it actually can contain nutrients and water. And if you see what is actually happening, when it's raining, the plants, the trees get all the water at once. In Malaysia, it rains 1 hour, and that's it for the day. If you have the open structure of the biochar, the char keeps the water and the nutrients, so the fertilizers, and gives it back slowly so that the plant or the tree has water all day. As a result, it will grow faster and gives more nuts, fruits, or whatever. And in this case, obviously, more palm oil at the end of the day, which is the importance of the CPOs. So we created a sustainable solution, make the whole chain in the palm oil industry sustainable. This is actually what we're doing, creating sustainability cradle to cradle. We get the waste of the plantation. We will reduce all the water. We'll create a biochar, and at the end of the day, this is given back to the plantations. They can use it. They can add some fertilizers on it, and nature does the rest.
Now, what is the challenge in terms of running a business here in Asia?
For Teleplan, the challenge that we're running the business in Asia actually is about the people over here in Malaysia. They're not really aware that how they can properly throw away their electronic product. Take an example. Let's say a lot of people, they keep on changing the new smartphones. Mm-hmm. Okay, after they're changing the smartphone, they have no idea where they throw it. That's why a lot of the smartphone improperly disposition or throw into the rubbish bin and then go to the landfill. So this is a waste. That's why in Malaysia, actually, the challenge is we need to have a more publicity on teaching the people how can they properly
dispose their electronic products.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's an issue in anywhere, I think around the world as well. People don't just repair their phones anymore. They just buy new ones. Anyway, and yourself, the challenge for running your business in Asia?
Well, this is the market where a lot of plantations. It's an opportunity, yes. The reason why we've chosen for Malaysia to start first is because of infrastructure, because of availability of raw materials, so sources, and level of education here in Malaysia is much higher than in the rest of this part of the world where plantations are involved in the chain.
And could you just tell us how far are we, just Malaysia alone, right, when it comes to putting sustainability as our first agenda, but how far are we to get there?
I have the impression there's a lot of interest actually here in Malaysia in the theme of sustainability, and that's also was shown actually a sustainability award. Many people actually came up with innovative ideas in the field of sustainability. There's a growing awareness of the need of sustainability. Malaysia is also one of the countries that is active in the implementation, for instance, of sustainable development goals of the UN. So I have the impression that there is a growing awareness. It's maybe not as much as in the Netherlands, but then people have a lot more of nature here in Malaysia. They have a lot of still of trees and forests. And for them, the immediate urgency is maybe a little bit less than for people who are in a more industrialized part of the world. Mm-hmm. But I know that many people here are aware of the fact that changes have to be made, otherwise they will also lose the remains of the tropical forest, and some steps have to be taken to make sure that the country is preserved for the next generation here.
And as the ambassador, what are the plans though for the next year when it comes to, you know, the sustainability, pushing the sustainability agenda?
Well, that can be done in many different ways and in many different areas. But what I hope is that next year we will have another sustainability award ceremony looking again at the three P's, the planet, profits and the people. All the three elements are important, I think. And what we hope to do is to show that sustainability sells. And if we can show that by coming with some innovative examples, we can make it more interesting for companies actually to also think in a more sustainable manner. And I hope we can cooperate as an embassy, of course. I hope that we can stimulate cooperation between Dutch innovative companies in this area and Malaysian companies. And I think there are many opportunities in many areas where we could work together. Maybe one example, and that is also an area where the energy transformers are involved, and that is that we have PIB, a Partners in Business project, as an embassy and as a Dutch government. We have stimulated Dutch companies who are working in the field of sustainable palm oil biomass and try to make a better use of the biomass, as we say, to turn the waste into wealth. And they are combining efforts now. They are working together. We hope to be able to work together with the Malaysian palm oil industry in the next year to come up with some projects together so that we can really show that there is a potential for more sustainability in the field of palm oil.
Trash to cash.
Waste to wealth.
Waste to wealth it is. Here's Marco Winter, Executive Director of Malaysian Dutch Business Council, or MDBC, on his plans for the upcoming MDBC Sustainability Awards.
We're still looking into making this continue as an annual event. We know that sustainability is, of course, also very high on the agenda in Malaysia. And in coordination with Malaysian parties as well as Dutch parties, we will continue to look out for what's the best way to present the next edition of this sustainability awards. Of course, we are constantly looking for new topics to make it new, to keep it current, and to be able to contribute the most information and sharing of best practices to our members of the Malaysian Dutch Business Council, but to everybody in Malaysia. So we're also looking to expand the awards program to include non-member companies and to maybe even open it to all corporations in Malaysia to participate at the next edition.
That's all we have for today's Enterprise Show. Just a few more fun facts before we go. The Netherlands has over 1,000 years of water engineering experience. The size of the country is half of the state of Sabah, but their GDP is $850 billion, which ranks 17th in the world, while Malaysia's GDP is $300 billion, which ranks 36th in the world. I hope you enjoyed this episode, which featured the winners of the awards, Peter Wolf, CEO of Transmar Group, and Chu Hunio of Teleplan, and also the Netherlands ambassador to Malaysia, Karen Mosin-Lechner. You can listen to this again on our app, which is available on both Google and Apple platform. I'm Angeline Tay, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.